It's good to be with you and to begin another week of broadcasting the glorious gospel of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the midst of preaching from the book of 1 Peter, verse by verse. We're not leaving out any words, we're not leaving out any verses, and we're not skipping over any thought that the Holy Spirit brings to our heart and to our mind through the book of 1 Peter. So I hope you'll have your Bible ready and open even right now, because we're beginning the message immediately at chapter 2 and verse 21. Chapter 2 and verse 21. Now, while you're getting your Bible and you're getting ready to read with me, those of you who can do so, let me review just briefly. We're in the midst of the section where the Apostle Peter is encouraging the hearts of the saints of God, those that are already born again, who are being persecuted by those who have rejected the Lord. And those in the devil's crowd, and I really don't know any simpler way to say that, if you do not belong to God, you belong to the devil. There is no middle ground. There's no such thing, one preacher used to say, as God's barbed wire fence. There is no fence. It's not there. You're either on one side or the other. You're not in the process of moving from a sinner to a Christian. You're not in the process of moving back from a Christian to a sinner. The Scripture speaks of being born again, and when you're born into the family of God, you become a member of that family, and you will remain a member of that family, not because you deserve it, not because you're a good person, but because the Lord Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. Now, he's saying you're suffering. And of course, these folks were suffering for Jesus' sake. He's not talking here about physical suffering. He's not talking at all about physical suffering. He's talking about the grief and the suffering that comes from being persecuted because you take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I dare say I'm speaking to very few Christians today, and it's sad to say this. It's sad. I'm speaking to very few Christians today who are being persecuted for Jesus' sake. Now, some places in the world, this is going on. Here in America, we say we are being persecuted, and we make out like we're having a hard time, and we have a lot to say about how the news media in general, that is, speaks against the fundamentalist and against the Bible believer. And sometimes there's cases of where we are mistreated. Now, in some families, people are mistreated because they belong to the Lord and because they take a stand for Christ and because they want to live a separated life. Now, Jesus said, if you suffer for this and you are guilty of doing something that would cause you to suffer, then there is no glory in that. But if you suffer for Jesus' sake, for the stand that you take, then, of course, that is acceptable with God. Then in verse 21 he says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. We're actually called to a life of suffering. Now, that's a far cry from what many preachers, television evangelists and preachers will tell you, and many pastors, that you're supposed to have a hip, hip, happy, hooray time all of the time, and that you're supposed to have everything that you want and everything that everybody else has. You're supposed to have it, and you're not supposed to be made fun of. You're not supposed to suffer to any degree. Well, the Bible is entirely different. He says, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you'll suffer persecution. Now, the opposite of that statement is, if you do not live godly in Christ Jesus, you will not suffer persecution. Now, that's one good way for you to check up and see if you're living godly. That's one good test of godliness. Are you being persecuted because of your stand for Christ? Now, he says, he says, leaving us an example. And I went into great lengths on the program last week to explain to you that he's not talking about, he is just our example. He is first our Savior. He is our example, but we are not saved by following his example. Now, he said we should follow in his steps. Now, there's no way that we can follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ step by step. But that's not the context that we're in here. The context is that we're suffering, and that when we suffer, we are to walk in the same steps he walked in when he was suffering. When he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He put the high priest's servant's ear back on and said, I could call down legions of angels to take my place. I don't need this kind of fight. And he surrendered himself to the suffering of the cross. Now, it's that example that we're to follow. Now, he did no sin, verse 22, neither was guile found in his mouth. There's no need for me to elaborate on that. If you believe the Bible, you believe Jesus to be perfect. And you believe he was God and is God, and that he could not make a mistake, nor could he sin. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again? And so our admonition is that when people revile us because we are a Christian and they make fun of us because we are Christian, we're not to argue back. We're not to revile them because they have reviled us. Christians are to be rid of that old get even spirit. Yes, I'll get even with him, you know, if it's the last thing I do. Well, some Christians still have that. And it's a shame because you're disobeying the scripture when you do. When he suffered, he threatened not. He could have killed the whole crowd, but he didn't even threaten them. He didn't even preach to them and tell them you're crucifying the Lord of glory and you're going to pay for it. He fought not back at those who crucified him, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. In other words, he said that Jesus committed himself to God who judgeth righteously. And you and I should do the same thing. When we are reviled, we do not revile the person back again because we know that God will have vengeance upon that person. We are not to have vengeance, but God will have that vengeance. He says, it is mine, the Lord said, and I will repay. Now he says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Now let me stop there for just a moment and wind up this other thought, and we'll begin with this on the program tomorrow. So the main thought now in verses 21, 22, and 23 is that when we suffer for Jesus, which every Christian will do, every Christian will suffer for Jesus if he is living godly in Christ Jesus. And he said, when we do not revile back, we do not strike back, we do not argue back, we do not talk back. We take it for Jesus' sake, knowing that God is going to have his revenge upon those who mistreat his children. That's a precious thought to me today, and I hope is encouragement to your soul.